Welcome, everyone. It's truly an honor and a pleasure to be here amongst you, to be able to sing songs of joy, songs of hope, but also to study the holy word of our God together, striving to always teach it in its entirety in accordance to his will. For those of you who are visiting us, we welcome you. We thank you for choosing the Southeast Church of Christ to worship our God in spirit and in truth. And as always, we want to engage in a Bible study with you so that we together, through with the scriptures in hand, can be able to see what the truth is about the gospel and how to help you with your salvation as well as our own. Thank you once more for choosing to be here with us. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, where we will be taking our lesson this morning, beginning at verse 41. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, may the honor, the glory, and praise forever be thine. Father, with great reverence, but with great joy, we praise thy name and we sing praises to thee. We have assembled, Father, to worship thee in its entirety. And now, Father, we come to the portion where, as part of worship, we listen to thy lesson through the lips of thy servant. Father, please grant me that ready recall. Grant me the words, Father, that which I've received, so that I too may be able to share them with those who are listening. And as we continue to understand the design that thou provideth mankind for the home, please, Father, grant us the strength to be able to show those who are children, Lord, those who are still sons and daughters, who have not yet started a home of their own, how, Father, it is that they fit into this scheme. Father, forgive us when we have sinned and forgive us when we have committed wrongs before thy sight. We pray this in the precious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have been studying God's design for the home. And for the past couple of weeks, we have seen what has been titled on this third quarter as Family Values. Now, last week, I made a promise, and whenever we make a promise, we must keep them. And we said that we were going to be speaking to you, children. And when I say children, I don't mean necessarily an age. I mean rather as sons and daughters. And without a doubt, this is a lesson that can still be applied to those of us who perhaps are adults but still have our parents, who still have them, and it is still our responsibility to honor them, for we know that this commandment was given from the beginning and it is still applicable today. But I want us to take the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If indeed he is the model husband, his wife is indeed the church. Well, without a doubt, Jesus also gives us the perfect example of a model son. We see how our Lord Jesus Christ is presented here by Luke at the age of 12. Now, as I was trying to imagine, and I was trying to come a visual of what our master would look like, perhaps, I came to the knowledge that perhaps there's a better way for us to have something separate from our PowerPoint to be able to have a vision of it, a visual. I'm going to ask Antonio if he can join us up here real quick, just so we can have an idea. We may have him as our model. I'm not trying to say the boy is handsome, although he is, right? Come up here. So Antonio here is 12 years old. The Bible says that Jesus was this age when he was lingering there in the temple. Now I want you to keep this in mind. Because as I tried to imagine how old our master looked, as I tried to imagine what his stature was or how he looked, you can see our man still here has a little bit of hair across his lip. We see that he's still entering into that stage of growth. But notice what a 12-year-old in our time looks like. And at this age, perhaps at this height and in this way, our Master, says Scripture, was already there listening and asking questions to those who were there at the temple. Thank you, Antonio. As you can see, the reason I used this visual, I wanted him to read, but he asked me if perhaps I'd give him more time to practice, and I told him soon he'll be preaching for us. But the idea that I want you to show young men, young women, is look at what age our Master was already considered what in the law of the Jews was today known as a bar mitzvah. Now when we've heard this word, we think about a great feast. We think about some huge deal that those of the Jewish culture or those of a Jewish religious background celebrate to celebrate their children's coming of age, their sons becoming adults. But in reality, this word, bar mitzvah, is the combination of the word bar, which means son, and va mitzvah, as law. Thus, our title comes from this word. They become a son of law. And what this means is that by the age of 12, the stature of Antonio, right? Glad he was shorter than me, not taller. But at the age of 12, these children, Antonio, who was our visual, who was our model, was already considered to be held accountable to be able to uphold the law of Moses. By this time, these children already knew the entire Old Testament by heart. They knew the 663 laws that had been added from the Ten Commandments. They knew them by heart, they knew the consequences, and they knew that they were now accountable for these events. So when we read about Jesus at the age of 12 being taken to the temple, chances are that from a historical standpoint, he was already of age where he, as a male, was now responsible to have to go to the temple just as it had been commanded of every Jewish male 3 times a year for the Jewish feasts. That's how old our Master was. Think about that, young man and young woman. Antonio yourself. Think about that. That's how old when our Master was when Scripture tells us that he was already a child of age. And this is important to understand. Because when we go to the book of Genesis, after God has already destroyed the world through the flood, in chapter 9, remember how our God says that man begins to sin from his youth. In Scripture we see, and through the example of the Jewish nation during this time, we see that for them this perhaps began to materialize around the age of 12. They began to understand that the boy by that time, the young lady by that time, had enough age to understand right from wrong. And thus, because they had enough age, and keep in mind that because from the age of 6, the Bible teaches us in accordance to history, that from the age of 6, these children were already being taught what the Passover was, why they were keeping it, and everything that was recommended from God in order for them to be blessed. So from the age of 6 to the age of 12, being taught, being trained, and being given a proper example, there is no trouble understanding why at that age they would already have a maturity unlike what we have in our world today. Because they were trained from a young age. They were taught from a young time. But the point that we're trying to make this morning, children, is that they weren't trained just so that they could have it memorized. They weren't trained just so that they could know what to say. No, by the age of 12, they were already required to be accountable for it. 12 years old, right? For us, in our sight, as that's why I wanted to use the visual, we think, well, he's only a boy. He's still young. And yet Jesus, at that age, was already asking questions and listening to their answers. He was already involved, as he tells his mother, in the business of his father. But he, without a doubt, had received a great example from his foster father, who was Joseph, and from his birth mother, who was Mary. Notice in verse 41 it says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. The example was there. Jesus had seen it from first hand. And what we see, brethren, is now he is amenable to God's law. Please turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning at verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning at verse 9. Scripture says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" Notice how here this scripture is beginning to be applied to a child of age, meaning a child who has reached the age of maturity where he understands right from wrong. A child who now understands that it is his responsibility to seek God when he is young. We are seeing how he is being held accountable for his own decisions, for his own actions. And it is no longer the responsibility of the father or the mother, and nor will they take direct responsibility for the actions that you do. Because observe how in verse 9 it begins by telling you, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth." Yes, you're young. Yes, you're strong. When you're at that age, all you can think about is wanting to give pleasure to your flesh. All you can think about is wanting to have fun. Wanting to not have a responsibility and to live life on your own terms. But did you notice the warning that Scripture gives you? Not your parents. Not your grandparents. Not your preacher or your teacher. Notice that Scripture speaks to you, young man. Scripture speaks to you, young lady. Notice what it says. "But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment." It's not an assumption. It's not a suggestion. God is telling you, don't think that even though you are young, you are exempt from my righteous eyes, says the Lord Almighty. See, the moment that you know what's right and what's wrong, the moment that you know how to distinguish right from wrong, and you can use your reason, you begin to exercise that use of reason. If you have been blessed to be in the church since you were a baby, there is a very good probability that even though you are 12 or 13 or 14, even before then, your mind was so sharpened by the Word of God, if your parents were diligent in teaching you what it is, that you came into this maturity a lot sooner than the age of 12. And even though that is a blessing, and even though that is a great fact, it is also a warning that if you know, you're also responsible to live and abide by it. You see, the moment that Jesus was 12, says Luke, he was taken by his parents to Jerusalem. Observe how Christ immediately joined his parents. He had seen their example. He had witnessed how they would go every year. He had seen why Mary had been chosen, why Joseph had been chosen. But now it was his turn. And this is incredible. This is beautiful because we're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about God Himself. And yet even He had to abide by the very laws that He had created from eternity, as long as He was in human form. The point is this, young man, young lady. Just because you're young doesn't mean that you are not already accruing for that day of judgment. Just because you're young doesn't mean that your parents will be held responsible for your decisions, whether they are good or bad. Because like Jesus Christ, even though he was the Son of God while he was on earth, and is still the Son of God in eternity, he was not exempt from having to abide by the commandments that his Father had given. Thus, the question you have to ask yourself is, why do you think, if this is how you think, that you are more special than Jesus himself? The answer is, you're not. Because just like the Lord was amenable to keep the law, so are you. Just like the Lord had to abide by Jewish tradition, you have to abide by the Word of God. Because if you are of age, if you are of understanding, then know this. You need to start thinking about where you want to spend eternity. This is why verse 12 begins by saying, remember now your Creator. Not when you're older, not when you've already lived life, not when you've already enjoyed whatever pleasures you want to deal with. You see, it is folly for you to think that you have a life secured for a long time. Just like James teaches us that those who assure that today and tomorrow we will go and we will buy, that today and tomorrow we will do this and we will do that. And then James warns, when you don't even know what tomorrow holds. For what is life but like a vapor? Young man, young woman, have you not noticed that death does not discriminate? Have you not noticed how death doesn't stop just because it sees, oh, he's still too young? How many cases of young people, younger than you, older than you a little, slightly, have lost their lives? And because they were already amenable, unfortunately are not in the best of terms with God for all of eternity. You see, you have to understand, young person, that the seriousness of what this servant of God tries to share with you, no matter if you're 12, it's not about your height, it's not about the peach fuzz, it's about your understanding. It's about the fact that because you know what Scripture says, you then are accountable. You then are responsible to begin to think and to begin to follow what Scripture teaches. To prepare yourself if you are not yet prepared for the next step. We see that when a child of age is, he is responsible for his growth. Please turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Notice how this is the role that God wants you, young man and young lady, to begin to prepare. Notice that Scripture asks, how can a young man cleanse his way? This answer to the question isn't by asking his mom and his dad to do it, by having the grandparents to spoil them and cover for them, by having other adults come and do it for them. No, never will you see Scripture enable your laziness. Never will you see God justify your lack and negligence of study of the Word. Observe that you, young man, you, young woman, you are the one who is commanded by taking heed according to your Word. But of course, if you don't study the Bible, how are you going to take heed that which you do not know? But how often, even when I used to teach the teens here, would I get that answer? Well, my mom and my dad didn't tell me I had to read the Bible. They don't have to tell you. You're of age. You should already know. It is your responsibility to start researching scriptures. Do you not know how God tells us through Paul that Timothy from childhood knew the scriptures? How he had been trained not by his father but by his grandmother and his mother? And then Paul comes to tell him that because of this he knew that the faith that was in Timothy was genuine. This means your faith is your own. It is not a faith dependent on your mother's faith. It is not a faith dependent on your grandmother's faith. It is not a faith dependent on my faith, says Paul. It is something that you yourself have responsibly developed. It is something that you yourself have taken an interest in, that you have worked on, that you have matured and ensured to secure. You see, young man and young woman, diligence is always something the Bible is encouraging in every Christian, young or old. But in case you haven't noticed, God calls you from a very young age. Samuel was very likely around Antonio's age as well, when God called them in Shiloh. And at that age, and perhaps at that stature, he had to tell Eli, you and all your family will be slain on the same day. From that age, 1 Samuel chapter 3 tells us, beginning at verse 19 to the end of the chapter, that every man in Israel, everyone in Israel knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. But why? Because he did not allow a single word of the Lord fall to the ground. He was 12, and Samuel was already well aware of the Lord's word. And not only that, he was practicing it. He was upholding it. He was taking his responsibility as a prophet of the Lord very, very seriously. When the Lord went to Jerusalem, historians agree that it is very likely the first time our master went, because of the age that he was. Notice his very first visit, what he was already doing. He didn't just go because he wanted to see the glamour of the city. He didn't just go because he wanted to be in awe of the temple's majesty. No. He lingered, says scripture. He lingered, and when they found him, notice where they found him. He was at the feet of teachers, of rabbis. He was in a classroom, if you will. He was in a Bible class. And he was actively participating. See, Brother Brown and I are always comparing notes as far as the teen class. And I've always told them, and those of you that were my students, you know this is true. They know they need to participate, Orion. They know. And one of my rules is that no one remains quiet. That's the reason why. Because if you care and you take an interest in it, you're going to ask questions. If you understand the gravity of this young man and young woman, if you understand that you are now responsible for your own spiritual growth, that there is no excuse that you can give God on the day of judgment that will absolve you from your sin of negligence. This is why I encourage you and I push you to get out. As Brother Anciso likes to say, I chip away to your comfort. But this is why. Because you have to cleanse your way. You have to cleanse your path. Because every man from his youth begins to sin. And the sooner you can take care of that sin problem, the stronger your spiritual life can be when you grow up. Talk to some adults who didn't have the privilege of growing up in the church. Ask them how difficult has it been for them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Breaking habits of sin. Breaking the addiction of sin. Of things that they once thought was right and through scripture came to realize, man, was I wrong. But you being in the pride of your life being in the essence of your joy, in the beginning of your life, you have such a beautiful opportunity to start and become a mighty Christian for the Lord. But if you don't take interest in it now, if you don't take the initiative to study your Bible on your own now, then those are bad habits that are already starting to develop. Well, it is my responsibility as a person who loves you to warn you, yes, you will be held accountable for it. Because it is now your responsibility, not anybody else's. But we see that you are also to be an example before all. Please turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Notice that these words are to the young men. Likewise, exhort the young men. You know what the word exhort means? Doesn't mean to scold. It doesn't mean to reprimand. The word exhort means encourage, motivate. That's what it means. And notice what the Apostle Paul is encouraging you to be sober-minded. In other words, don't get involved with wine. Don't get involved with alcohol. Don't get involved with anything that can intoxicate your righteousness. Don't get involved with lust. Don't get involved with the pleasures of the flesh. Keep a right head on your shoulders. Develop your mind. Think for yourself. And don't let this world do the thinking for you. Because the world is going to flood your mind with wicked and evil suggestions, trying to get you drunk on what they believe is the best way to live, which it isn't. But then notice verse 7, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. Do you recall with John, 1 John chapter 2, our first lesson of this third quarter, how it began? I write to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one. Well, there's that pattern that Paul is telling Timothy about. Excuse me, Titus about. And the reason I mention Timothy is because this is a parallel passage to what Paul told Timothy. A passage that every young Christian and every young man and woman trying to be a Christian should know by heart. Let no one despise your youth. Why? Because you are to be an example. And then he gives you a list, and conduct, faith, and so on and so forth. Well, notice how Paul is telling Titus the same thing. You have to be a pattern. You have to show the young people of the world who don't have the blessing that you have that you can be young and also be pure. That you can serve God with the strength of your youth. That it can be done, and it is not impossible. You just have to desire it. You have to be responsible. You have to be diligent. But above all, you have to love God as He loved you. Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. When you're at school, how do you talk? When you're around your friends, do you sound like them? Or do you put them to shame because you sound more intelligent? Because you are a Christian. When you are in your car, or when you are listening to your radio, what do you listen to? What kind of music are you listening to? Is it music that contains sound speech? Or do you think that by saying the words that are not bad, and then muting yourself with the words that are bad, you're not committing sin? How are you, young man and young lady, distinguishing yourself, separating yourself from the world? How are you being the influence and bringing to God, to Christ, those lost souls that He died for. Because yes, because you are a son or daughter of law, not in law, of law. Because you are a child of age, yes, you too have the responsibility to spread the gospel. But how can you if you don't exemplify it first? You have to be a pattern of good. You have to show that your mind is right. Not that you are arrogant, not that you think you know it all, but we'll get to that this tonight. That you are meek, you are humble. Because you honor your parents. And in doing so, you honor your God. There's so much more I would love to say, and everyone here knows my passion is always working with the teens. So if I seem a little more passionate in these sermons, it's not that I'm biased, but in a way I am. Because you are the future. You are the lungs of a congregation. And for me, and I can say the same for our brother Brown, you are special. So we try to keep and protect that which is treasured by our God. So what we're telling you is let no one despise your youth as long as you show an example of godliness to every man who sees you, young or old. But if you're acting immature, rebellious, foolish, dishonorable, well then understand this, it is not your youth that is despised, it is your foolishness. Because how can you want us to praise bad conduct? How can you want us to exalt a bad behavior? No. You have to first understand that you, like Christ at the age of 12, are already responsible. It is your duty to start studying and preparing your mind, your heart, and your body for when the time comes that you want to accept the gospel of salvation. I'm not telling you they should already be baptized. That's not what I'm saying. Christ didn't get baptized until the age of 30. What I am telling you is, you need to be preparing your mind every day so that when you accept that commitment, like Christ, you can be faithful unto death. Because this is a big commitment. But not just because you are not in the young crowd means that you are not being spoken to, my friend. Because the same is true for you. You see, the disadvantage is that if you've let your youth pass, you've waited too long, but yet the power of Christ is still powerful enough to wash away no matter how many sins you may have committed. But I'm not going to lie to you. Your path will be a little more difficult because you're going to be fighting a lifetime of bad habits, a lifetime of sins. But what I am telling you, or rather not me, but what Scripture is telling you, is that it isn't impossible. It can be done. With the blood of Christ and the power of His gospel, with the assistance of your brothers and sisters who is the church, you can change. You can be better in the eyes of God. But here's the beautiful part. You have to accept that you too are amenable to God's law, meaning you're going to be held accountable, Christian or not. Thus, you are responsible for your own growth and understanding of Scripture. And if you don't understand, well, this is why we always make the invitation to have a Bible study with you, so that we can help you understand the truth of God's Word. But then, you have to be an example, and that example begins when you, having understood and accepted to take on this new life, you come before everyone and you confess that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, having been repented, of course, and then be immersed in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins, to when you rise to a newness of life, you can begin your journey of fidelity, of loyalty, of being faithful until death. Don't you want to accept that offer this morning? If there's anyone subject to the invitation call, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing that hymn of invitation.